Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. As we are live here, it's 4:40. That means we hear from Brandon Scott, by the way. A little football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, there's a lot from today and the press conference. And B. Scott, you have covered this team. You've covered every bit of the D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud era. Would you say this is, at least from what you hear from the fan base and others, is this the most, or I guess the least level of belief that has been had for those two guys right now?
Yeah, it's got to be rock bottom in terms of belief, right? Yeah. Like, and I felt like week three felt like rock bottom at the time, losing to the Jags the way, I mean, y'all remember how that game looked, how the Jags tried to give them the game and they just wouldn't take it. That felt like rock bottom at the time. But now we're a couple of weeks out of this thing, and there is something to be said for coming out of a bye week. And I know all of us were kind of offended by this. Like, not, you don't even have to be a Texans fan. Just appreciate the game, right? To come out of a bye week and to look as ill-prepared and not ready for the moment as they did was really disappointing. And so when you talk about belief, how could you believe in that? How could you watch Monday Night Football, the way the Texans performed under the circumstances, given that they had 15 days to prepare for it? And I know some of that is off days, bye week and all of that, but you understand, they had 2 weeks to prepare for this opponent. And they come out there, you got one of your leaders on the offensive line talking about complacency. You hear D'Amico Ryans today asked a question about, and we might get to this, but asked a question about their offensive identity. He can't really answer it. And it looked that way. It looked that way on the field. And so when you talk about belief, man, it's got to be at an all-time low. It feels like rock bottom for this iteration, right? For the D'Amico Ryans era so far, it feels that way.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, and this is one of them, it's about D'Amico for me, is D'Amico is why I've lost all hope on this season and definitely with this offense. Is, you know, I would like to think that D'Amico is, you know, just – not offering an explanation or covering for his guys or not wanting to throw somebody in his butt. But we, this is the same exact thing we saw last year. It's all fixable, technique and mechanics. All they got to do is execute, do your job, do what you're coached to do. And then at the end of the year, the offensive coordinator gets fired, right? You can't ever figure it. None of the problems ever gets fixed, and your offensive coordinator gets fired. And now, so here's another one, and it's the same song and dance of, oh, I mean, plays are good. I mean, the plays are good. We just got to execute after we snap the football, right? I mean, like that's the part in me is like I've heard this song and dance before, and it wasn't protecting anybody. It was real. Like you, there was an inability to fix or adjust that we've already seen cost one offensive coordinator his job. It seems like they're on the way to for another one.
Well, it seems like literally the issue is that they don't have the answer. Like, why does he sound like he does not have the answers? The what you see in the press conference is reflected on the field, or vice versa, right? Like you can see them searching for answers. On like, think about it. He's asked that question. What's your offensive identity? The thing that he can't say that's frustrating about all of it, that we all know the real answer is, we don't have one. We ain't got one. He can't say that. And so absent of that, absent the real answer, he doesn't have any good, like, you know, just BSing it, if you will. But y'all had Cecil Shorts on here. You and him have talked about this. You and Cecil have talked about this. And it was the first thing I remember Cecil saying when he was on with y'all earlier in the show was, man, they don't have no identity. They don't know what they want to be, what they want to do, what direction they want to go
in. But what if he said that, though, Brandon? But what if he just said, right now, hell, man, we ain't got one. You're watching it.
You know what? I think we could have at least appreciated the candor. As frustrating as that would have been, and as frustrating as that would have been to hear, and when you talk about confidence, you would have lost. You probably would have had even less confidence.
But it's been better than move the football.
I would not have bailed on the offense today if he had said that. If he had said, right now, man, we ain't got one, but here's what we're working towards. Here's what our end game is.
This is what we want to be, but right now we...
Yeah, that would have been a better answer.
Yeah, I left D'Amico Ryan's audio, his meeting with the presser today, I left that as in, I don't know that they've even had that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they've had the conversation, it just doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. You ever talk in circles? You know, and everybody's repeating their same point back and forth,
right.
or whatever the points is, don't work. You know, and this is a fair point I feel like was made on either in the YouTube chat or somewhere where I saw it. It's like, hey, how can you establish an identity when your offensive line looks like this? When you're still, this was another offensive part of the game. They're still figuring out a left guard. They don't know who their left guard is.
Well, they think it's better if they're on a pitch count.
Yeah, well, if that be the case, though, how are you going to run plays? What you got, a Lake and Tomlinson package and a Juice Scrugg package?
I've never heard of the guard on a play clock.
Or on a snap count.
You made the point too when you were talking to Cecil Clint about that there's only but so many run plays and schemes and different ways you can block it. It's five guys down there, or it's six, seven, however many you want to devote to it. But it becomes a numbers game at some point, and you only got but so many options. Yeah, you know, none of them really seem to work for them.
Well, but when you like, you got to know who. This is the biggest thing for me. You got to know who you are. Like, this offensive line is not going to go in and dominate the line of scrimmage or control the line of scrimmage versus anybody. Now, maybe the backups in Baltimore after their best players got hurt. Maybe Tennessee when Simmons is a guy that you just got to control one. But you're not going to go control the line of scrimmage your way to the playoffs. And if you like you know that. That's the thing is like, and so. If you know that, what are you going to do to overcome the fact that this week you're not going to be able to create enough creases inside to generate a run game? What are you going to do? How are you going to one off this thing? Who else are you going to get involved? And there is zero. There's a zero effort.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you make a big defensive front like that, I'm going to make you defend the screens. Even if I don't make any yards on him, I'm going to make his big ass run sideline to sideline to see if I can't wear him out.
Yeah.
To see if I can't hit a seam that way. Not didn't try it.
Well, and on top of that, the margin for error is slim when that's the case, right?
Like right.
You need to come up with the answers, but also your margin for error is slim when you're a team talking about, hey, you're not going to dominate the line of scrimmage your way to victories. Well, you got to figure it out, but also you are now limited. You are now extremely limited in what you can do. And what do you do when you're inexperienced and limited, which is the case here, right? You got a defensive head coach that's monitoring everything, and then he's entrusted a first-year play caller with figuring it all out.
Yeah.
It's a bad situation.
We haven't talked a lot about this. Brandon Scott here with us each and every Wednesday, 4:40. Do you think the defense played well Monday?
Not in the beginning. No, I thought.
We keep hearing the four turnovers. It's really three. The other one is the little strip that Woody Marks got. They count that as a turnover that led to the touchback. But they got three turnovers in the game. Many people are kind of offensive play is kind of overlooking.
How well do you think the defense coming off the bye?
Look, I think the defense is at least good. Like, I can still confidently say that the defense is a good defense. But if we're just talking about Monday night, no, I wasn't expecting the Seahawks' second running back to run it down their throat the way that they did, considering that the Seahawks don't even necessarily run it that well. We know they run it a lot, right? They run it as much as anybody in the league, but they don't necessarily run it great. They ran it great early against the Texans. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I understand that he's in the conversation for one of the best players in all of football right now.
I didn't think he would
get whatever he wanted. But he got whatever he wanted against whoever he wanted, right? And so, no, you watch Jackson Smith and Jigba light him up the way that he did. The running game lighted up the way that they did early in the game. No, I don't feel like the defense was incredible.
Yeah. Look, the defense got smoked early on. That was the biggest thing. Other than that, it was short fields that they were able to take advantage of. You give short fields to that offense, the way they're humming, they're going to get points on the board. I mean, the slow start, the inexcusable slow start, particularly from Derek Stingley Jr. giving up a big play, up a couple of big plays. That's the part that you just. The truth of the matter is the margin of error for this defense is slim to none. You cannot let a team jump to 14-0. It's a wrap. It's game
like
over.
Like Hunter Brown, baby.
Yeah.
It's like Hunter Brown, and I mean, we can't give up two.
Yeah, because you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just the reality of who they are. And, look, they're the best defense in the league right now in terms of scoring defense. So, I mean, you got to – the expectations come with it.
But look at that, though, the domino effect of slim margins, right? Margin of error is slim for the offense, which means a defense that's actually good, like objectively good. Now their margin for error is slimmer, right? They can't just peel the ears back and go, right? They gotta account for the fact that the offense can't get anything going. So there is a domino effect to the offense being what it is right now.
No, it is. It is a rough go of it. It would take them 8-3 to get to 10 wins. Your thoughts? Do you even look at this team anymore as playoff? Do you even look at them that way anymore?
It's sad because I did as early as a week ago, or as recently as about a week ago, because I was feeling good about what they had going into the bye week and their chances at least to play a good. It's not the record, right? Like, it's not even just the math of it all. It's the way that it looks. It's everything that you guys talk about from segment to segment about the offense not having an identity, the offensive play caller not having a good feel. I mean, you think about that stretch where they throw three straight go balls or whatever it was. You think about that stretch where they run the same exact play or a similar one on third and fourth down when, like Clint just mentioned, you know already, and at least at that point in the game have established that you cannot dominate the line of scrimmage. That's not your bag. That's not what your thing is. It's certainly not against this opponent. So, yeah, it's more so about the way that it looks and how bad that it looks as much as it is being 2-4, right? It's not just the math of it all. It's the way that it looks. It's like, I got a hard time envisioning how they go from where they are right now to where they exactly want to be.
All right, that's B. Scott. We may be getting closer and closer to Rockets report here in a
Yeah, man. They played a hell of a game.
They did.
They played a hell of a game like last night. If they can figure out their ball handling situation and just get somebody to run that offense, they got a lot of good things going for them. So, yeah, shout out to the Rockets, man. We got something here in H-Town.